Artorama Podcast.
Hi, Christophe. Thank you very much for your time in doing this Artorama podcast.
Thank you, Thiago. Oh, sorry. I'm impressed, in fact.
So let's start off this conversation by the beginning, because you told me before that you start collecting in Canada, right? I mean, you were really young and there are a lot of lessons that you learned from this first moment that you were in Canada and you bought your first work. Isn't that right?
Yes, but it was not a work that I take from Canada. I was 20 years old and I made a trip to Canada and I went to the Museum of Ottawa. And in the museum, I discovered a huge exhibition about South American artists. And after that, I went back to Belgium. It was in April. And in April, we have the art fair at Brussels. And I discovered at that moment, in a booth of galleries from Lisboa, a work of art that was in the show. It was a Mario Cravonetto, photographer from Brazil. And I say to myself, oh, it's quite strange. Someone could have the same piece that I saw in a museum. I was really young and it was something quite special for me to discover that. And I asked to the galleries the price of the work. And at that moment, he told me that price. And I say to myself, it's the same price that I have, the money I have in my bank account. So without saying anything to my parents, I take every money I have the day after. I went back to the fair and the galleries told me, oh, I just sold the picture and I really want that one. But he told me, oh, it's okay. I can go back to Lisboa and I send you the other edition of the picture. And it was so scary for me to give my money to someone that I don't know that I take another picture by the same artist. And it was a good lesson because never do that again. If a gallery told you you can keep take another one, never do that. And in fact, I learned a lot about this this thing because I say to myself, I will always take artists that are living artists. I will never make a collection about Belgium artists only, but from all over the world. Also, I can trust myself more, and also to create something that is linked together. It's something really important when you do a collection. And in fact, there was something else. The picture that I have was unframed. And so I don't have any money. And so I have to wait and save some money. I was just a student at that moment. So when I have the money to frame it, I say to myself, but I really don't like so much this picture, so maybe I can buy a young artist, a work by a young artist, and I made it. And at that moment, since that moment, the first work of my collection is unframed.
That's really nice. That's really interesting. And going a little bit further on your final university project that, as a matter of fact, was a magazine focused on conceptual art. So I would love if you could speak about that and the important role that Herman Dalet and Yamot had or played in your way to collect things, in your way to view art. And I would love to understand, how was that? How did they influence you? How was that? Tell me a little bit.
My academic dissertation was about a magazine, a Belgian magazine, which name which was published during the 70s, and the name was Plus Moins Zero, and it deal mostly with conceptual art. And during that moment of my studies, I discovered Herman Dallet, the famous collector from Belgium. And it was a kind of father figure in the way I have to collect. After that, I create a space for exhibition with a friend of mine. And he went to the exhibitions and sometime he bought some picture, some work of art. So Herman Dallet is someone that helped me to be a strange collector, not someone that want to have things on his wall. And after that, at the same moment, nearly at the same moment, I discovered a gallery, and the gallery was owned by Jan Mott, which is also someone that deal with the question of conceptual art, neo-conceptual art mostly. And at that moment, it was quite nice to have someone that is a dealer, but also a gallerist, but it's speaking about art deeply. And it was quite nice because we have the same mood. And I bought from his gallery some work by Mario Garcia Torres, for example. And in fact, there is a those two figures are really important. But there is also another one, which is a couple, and the couple is Herbert and Dorothy Vogel. Herbert was a postman and Dorothy working in a library. And so there was no rich at all. But as I am, they made a collection. And that helps me a lot, in fact.
That's really nice. And I'm interested to know as well, when you mentioned before that you don't have works on the walls, and I was wondering, I mean, even if you don't live with the work, artists, as you mentioned to me before, are quite important in your life. And even if the work is not present, they are quite kind of present in your imaginary, in your life, no? And by having this attitude, you don't think of the size of your walls when buying art, you mentioned to me once, right?
Yeah, never. I have some work that I cannot put in my apartment. I have to do shows to present the work. I have to be a curator of my own shows or stuff like this to see the work. It was a case for work, a wall painting, by Cristina Garrido, which was so huge that I can put it in my walls. And in fact, my collection is in my art and in my head, mostly. But in fact, my collection is in a storage. And that helps me a lot not to think about walls. If you don't think by walls, about walls and putting these things at that place in your apartment, you are free. You can take what you like, really like, and not to think about size of things. I'm always with artists. I'm a teacher in an art school. I help my best friend. She has a gallery. And I made lectures and I made plenty of projects also. I'm a fanatic, simply.
And there is another interesting aspect that I would like to highlight, which is the fact that you don't just have a piece of work, a piece of artwork from an artist, but you want to do something with him, with her also, right?
Yeah, and I like the idea of a long-term commitment with an artist. And I try to have a long relationship with her or with him as a collector. And so don't just have one piece by someone, but as some, the life of the work. Maybe sometime I cannot be able to buy other stuff because the money, the price is too high. I'm just a teacher, so sometimes it's happened. It's happened, for example, with Roman on Deck. I have five, I think, Roman on Deck, and it's, I think it's the end. But for another example, I have a patient for one huge artist from Belgium. He's not well known, but I discovered him at the beginning of the collection, and I'm still buying stuff from him. Since the beginning, so most 27 years ago.
That's well, that's impressive. And besides the topics of economy, money, art history, language, which are concepts of or ideas that, of your collection, how the concept of invisibility plays a role in your collection?
In fact, the concept of invisibility, as you say, is one part of the mood of the collection. The collection is a self-portrait. It's talking about me. I like words. I'm quite special because I'm dyslexical. So I have a struggle with words. My everyday job is contemporary art. I don't have so much money, so my collection speak about money. And I'm really shy. I'm horribly shy. It's awful to be shy as I am. So when I see a work of art that is talking about invisibility or discretion, I feel she's like me, in fact. I fall in love with those kind of invisible pieces. They don't screen to say, I'm a work of art. I'm here. You have to buy me. No, I want discretion.
That's really interesting. And let's talk a little bit about specific works of your collection. For example, since you mentioned Roman on Deck, I think he's a really good example of someone who uses this mechanism of invisibility. And Prachaya Pingtong is another artist who I think uses this concept pretty well, right? With the secret piece that you have.
Yes. In fact, those two artists are in the same gallery. It's important also for me, the galleries are really important. And so, in fact, for Roman on Deck, I have a few pieces. I have a fake conversation with him. It's a piece that is a text, only a text. And in fact, there is some sentences that when we first met, we talked during a fake English course, and we discovered that we love something, we have that kind of, we live in that city and stuff like this, but everything is fake. Only the names, our names are okay. Yeah. So this is a huge piece. This is not so tiny, but everything is fake. Everything is invisible. It's talking about sound that never appears, in fact. And for the Prachaya Pingtong, the work, it's a secret that I have to keep. If I met his mother, I don't have to tell her something. And the physical part of the work, so there is an unphysical, is the secret that I keep. But the physical part is a sticker on the wall, and it say, please don't tell my mom, and I will stop that because I don't want to reveal that secret.
That's really nice. And there is as well another like kind of secret hidden element in the work of Martin Creed, isn't it? And there is as well the golden eyelash in your collection. I think it's worth mentioning.
There is a golden eyelash. And the golden eyelash is from an artist from Britain, Elizabeth S. Clark. and Elizabeth, you have to, she gives you an eye, a golden eyelash, and you have to blow the golden eyelash in the exhibition.
That's beautiful.
So you lost the work somewhere in the exhibition. There is just a slide that is present and that say that there is somewhere in the exhibition a golden eyelash. And about Martin Creed, this is a piece that you don't have to forget that you have it, in fact, because it's a doorstop, and the doorstop is put in a 45 degree of opening the door. So if you forget that you have this piece, you will have your door in your face. And in fact, I really like this work of art, because if I have the Demoiselle d'Avignon by Picasso in my bedroom, I could forget that work. But the Martin Creed, if I forget it, I will have, it will be hurt, something that really hurts me a lot.
For sure. And to finish up, there is another piece that I would love if you could tell us a little bit about it. That is the Oriol Villanova, the Declaration of Love. I think that's mm-hmm. so beautiful piece. If you could...
The works of Oriol Villanova, I'm quite fascinating by his work. I have plenty of works by Oriol. And I have a performance by Oriol. It's the only performance that I have in my collection. And the performance, it's a long letter of love. And the letter of love was written by Oriol. And a collector have to read it. It could be me, but it could be also another collector. And it's a long story about loving objects that are part of our collection, in fact. But I have also plenty of other great artists that deal with those question of invisibility.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I think that was wonderful. Thank you very much, Christoph. It was wonderful talking to you. Thank you for making your collection visible to us.
Yeah, but I never made it really visible. I made only sometimes shows. If you want, you can go in Brussels in September and October. I have a show about my collection, but it's dealing with the idea of falling in love.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Thank you for this moment with you and with the friends of Artoama, which is my favorite fair in the world.
It's a great fair, that's true. Thank you very much, Christoph.
Thank you.
Artoama Podcast.